Oh, yeah, indeed. Last week we did start talking about Jonah. And as strange as the story of Jonah is, what we said last week is it's kind of all of our stories, because all of us at one point or another in our life have attempted to run from God. And we said last week, running from God for you might have been something like this, where you graduated from school, graduated from high school, and you said goodbye to mom and dad, and you said, see ya, I'm good on my own, goodbye, mom and dad's God, you can stay at home, stay at church, I've got places to go, things to do, people to see, and I'm out of here. And then the 20s flew by, and then maybe the 30s were so busy, and the 40s, and you didn't really make a conscious decision, maybe, but you kind of put God in the rearview mirror, and you got to the point, for some of you, maybe got to the point where you said, look, I can't turn back now because of look what all that has happened in the meanwhile. And if I have to go back, God's going to want to change all kinds of things in my life. Or we also said that maybe that's not your story. Maybe your story is that there's an area of your life. You've let God into this and into that and into kind of influence your whole life, but God, just don't mess around with that particular thing, right? Don't mess around with that relationship or the dream to purchase that thing or that home or that vacation. Don't mess around with my business, Lord. You know, I'll have an ethic at church, I'll have an ethic at home, but don't mess around with my business, my career, because you don't know my industry, you don't know what I have to go through, the pressure. I know more than you do, God, so just, you know, don't make me do anything about that. And again, no matter the area, all of us, the point is that all of us have run from God. Now, like Jonah, when we run, we also said we run to the most odd places. We run to the dangerous places. We run to the most self-destructive places. And we also said when we go there, the people who are running closest to us often are the ones who have to deal with the shrapnel of our running. And many of you know this because you were raised in a household where mom or dad, they were a runner. And you remember, you know, again, they didn't say these words, but they said, you know, no, God, we're going to do it our way. And you remember the hurt. You remember the sense of abandonment. You remember the sense of dysfunction in your family life because you had a mom or dad or both who were, they were just runners. And now, because it kind of shaped as a child, it shapes our adulthood, you're still dealing with some of the shrapnel as an adult. Because when we run, it's the ones who are closest to us that often have to deal with the shrapnel and the decisions that we make. Now today, as we continue with chapter 2, we're going to look at a couple more insights into this whole idea of running. And the interesting thing about Noah, after he was swallowed by this fish and realized that he wasn't going to drown, he learned some very important lessons. And so what happened is he got to the point where we all get to, and he prayed. Right, that's what we do when we get to the point where we feel like we've hit rock bottom. We pray, we get religious, and that's what happened to Jonah. And so he prayed, and then after all this had happened, he looked back and he wrote down kind of the outline of his prayer. And in this prayer, there are three insights about God's perspective towards runners. These are three insights that Jonah learned through his experience as it relates to God's perspective towards those who are continuing to run, that are runners. And so this is really important insight for you and for me and for all of us here. So let's go back. We're back in chapter 2. This is verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You see, the first thing we discover as a person who has made the decision to run from God is that when you decide to pray, when they decide to pray, God actually listens to your prayer. That God listens to the prayer of a runner. In other words, what we discover is that when you're at the end of your wits, when you have hit rock bottom, when you know, there's nowhere else to turn, and you're the one to blame, and you can't blame anybody else. When you're at that point, even when you're at the bottom, in that moment, when you turn to your Heavenly Father with a prayer, God hears the prayer of a runner. Now, why would God do that? Why would God listen to someone who said, look, God, You stay. Stay, God. I've got some things I got to go do. Stay. I'm going to go off, and you go off, and you do your thing. And as a result of doing your thing by yourself, some things unravel, some things go sideways. You come back, and you ask for help from God. Now, God, why would God listen to that prayer? He doesn't have to. But the message of the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, the message of the New Testament, the message of Jonah is that in your distress, when you're at the bottom, your Heavenly Father hears the prayer of the runner. And knowing this, not knowing this, might keep you from turning toward God. And not knowing this might be the reason why you, like many people, kind of get stuck in a cycle. You kind of get stuck in that rut where something's happened or you've traveled long enough and you go, well, I can't go back. I mean, I can't turn back to God. You know what I've done. You know where I've been. I can't turn back to God. I can't turn back to my parents. I'm kind of stuck in this thing that's happening to me. I might as well just keep on going, even though I know it's not sustainable. But what other option do I have? And God raises his hand and says, no. You have another option. You can come back to me. And I realize that the ruts that you have dug, I know about those. But in your distress, I will hear your cry. And you can come to me. I won't even tell you I told you so. See, in that way, God's not like me. You know, I tell my kids all the time, you got to clean your room. If you don't clean your room, you're going to lose something important for school. And then they come back to me and go, Dad, I lost something for school. I think it's somewhere in my room. You know what my response is. Well, I told you so. The good news is I'm not God. And God isn't like you or me. He doesn't, when you come back to God and you say, hey, I lost this. I lost a bunch of time. I lost this relationship. I lost this thing going on in my life. God doesn't say, I told you so. God says, how can I help? Well, not only that then. Here's the second thing we learned. The second thing we learn is that God is oftentimes in the midst of the circumstances that bring us to the end of ourselves. Listen to Jonah, verse 3. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. To which we say, time out, Jonah. God didn't cast you into the seas. The sailors cast you into the seas. Do you not remember your own story? And Jonah's like, no, I remember my own story. And indeed, physically maybe, the sailors cast me into the sea. But I know that God had his thumbprints all over that. The sailors were the instruments. They were the tools. But it was God who brought me to the end of myself. God is in the midst of the circumstances. And God is in the midst so that we might come to the end of ourselves. I have an old friend who tells the story of when he got kicked out of high school. His parents had had enough. And so he tells the story. They lived in Florida, and they gave him $100. They bought a plane ticket, and they sent him to the middle of West Virginia to work in a warehouse, his grandfather's warehouse. And he said, this was the most horrible season of my life. He says, I got on this airplane, I landed in West Virginia, and my parents told me, they said, you're going to be living at the YMCA. Believe it or not, YMCA. So he's got $100, he lands, and he doesn't know where he's going. He said, a nice couple finally directed me to the YMCA, and I live there. And now he says, he's looking back on that, he goes, man, I am so grateful. I'm grateful that my father took a hard stand. I'm grateful that my grandfather took care of me. But let me tell you what I'm really grateful. That was God. God was in those circumstances. See, here's what you discover when you turn back toward God. The circumstances we get in, the relationships that go sour, the debt that we overload with ourselves, the decisions that are about to take you down, one day you're going to look back and you're going to look at those circumstances and you're going to say, that's God. I mean, I didn't know it at the time, and she didn't know she was an instrument of God, and he didn't know he was an instrument of God, but God was leveraging those circumstances somehow providentially in order to get my attention. I had no idea, but I'm glad, because God did it in order to bring me back, not to get me back. Because God wants to bring you and me back into a relationship so we can discover the true call for us. And isn't that what we would expect? Isn't that what we would expect of a God who said, I want you to call me the Father, Heavenly Father, like I'm a father? Wouldn't you expect a God who loves us like that? Do you think a God who loves you like that would be content to sit back and let the person that he loves you just wander off, a child just wander off? Would you expect a God who's so loving to say, nah, right, whatever, we'll go find somebody else? No. You wouldn't expect that. I mean, if he loves you, isn't he going to come after you? And if he loves you and you don't respond to his grace and mercy, wouldn't you expect that God would come after you with the circumstances and situations in life? Yeah. In order to not get you back, not to punish you, but to bring you back. Because that's how much he loves you and me. Isn't that what a good God would do? And today, maybe some of you are in the middle of some circumstances and you can't see it. But there are other people in this room who would probably go to you, look, I've been through those seasons and I know that that's God speaking to you to bring you back. So for Jonah, God brought him right to the edge. Listen to verse 7 again. As my life was ebbing away, he thought that was it. This is it. We're done. I'm done. I remembered, he has this moment, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with a voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. And this brings us to the third thing, and this is the big thing. This is, you know, so Jonah has this aha moment, and here's what we learn, that God is a God of second chances. God is a God of second chances. And God is a God of a second chances that said, God, I believe in you and everything, but I don't think I need any more information. I think I've heard the story enough. I'm out of here. I'm pretty sure I'm smarter than you. You want me to go where? No, thank you. I'm going to go here. And yet God said to Jonah, I'll give even you a second chance. Anybody been there? Then listen to these verses. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out onto the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. And so Jonah, fresh from these new insights, set out and went. Of course he did. See, this is the good news. All the sin, all the junk, all the decisions, all the consequences in your life, did you know that God can leverage all of that and use it for something good if you let him? Did you know that God is not through with you yet? Some of you need to start believing how important you are to God, because he's not through with you yet. Do you know that the message of the Old Testament, the New Testament, is you cannot drift. You cannot move outside the boundaries of God's mercy and grace and reach. You can't. All of your Bible heroes, by the way, were runners. And many of the people that have helped you in your life are runners. I don't know if you know this, but in order to preach in this church, the one of the qualifications to preach is you have to be a sinner. You have to be a runner. You have to know what it's like to run. In fact, on any team, if you want to teach our children, the only prerequisite is you have to know what it's like to run. You got to be a sinner. You know, that's if you want to be here up on the, you know, vocal team, worship team, the only person that this church uses are runners, are sinners, because that's the only people that God uses as well. See, having run doesn't disqualify you. And if you'll just wait and see, if you'll pause and just be patient and wait and see what God has in store, God's going to take the junk and the sin and the wasted years, and he will leverage that through you as ministry into the life of someone else. Someone else who needs it. you don't know yet the effect that you just might have because you're willing on someone else's life. If you're willing to turn back toward God. Because God is a God of second chances. And listen, when you quit running, you know, God's going to restore some things. God will restore your heart. God will start restoring your soul, your sense of well-being. God is going to heal for some of you. God is going to forgive those of you who can't forgive yourself. God is going to, at some point, God might help work some things out in your financial world. God will work some relationships out for you. That'll begin to happen. But you know what God can't work out, what God can't restore? God can't restore time for you. And time after time, people who say, hey, I wish I would have turned. I wish I would have been, didn't run quite as far. I wouldn't have wasted all of those years if I could only go back. Because I threw so many years away. And so my challenge to you today is, why not just today come to an end on this? Why not today just say, okay, I'm tired. I'm going to finish. I'm going to turn. And here's what will happen. God is going to hear your prayer, and you're going to discover that God isn't so far away after all, that God is right there in the midst of your circumstances, and that you will eventually learn that God is a God of second chances. And so don't wait another season of your life. Don't waste any more years. Surrender, stop running, whatever you want to call it. We have different words for it, because you can run from God, but you can't outrun God. And he's committed to you because he loves you. And he doesn't want to get you back. He doesn't want to punish you. He wants to bring you back so that you can stand in the shadow of the cross and discover again what your true call in your life might be. So my prayer for you is that you'll take courage today and stop running. Come on home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're busy. We're busy. We're busy. Everything's amping up. And man, our prayer life, we forget about the prayer life, Lord, because it just seems to fall down the priority list. And then we're dealing with so many other things. God, won't you help us to remember that our first relationship needs to be with you, and then the promise is that you take care of all the other details. Help us to offload our burdens so that you can enter into all of these areas of our life in a more profound way. So I pray that we all might stop and turn back to you, Lord. In your name, amen.